I'm reading from Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 1. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the
first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'"
Thank you, Kate. As we look at Matthew's account of the resurrection, I make no apologies of actually stealing the title of the sermon from the song that we've actually sung, "The Greatest Day in History." And today we celebrate the greatest day in the history of the world. Jesus Christ, who was crucified, died, but was raised on the third day, has conquered death. He is risen and alive forevermore because of this historical event, because of this resurrection. This too can change and transform our lives. But if Jesus Christ broke out of death, then we have to take notice of him and let him to break into our lives. Someone once said about the resurrection, about the Lord Jesus, "Record to life." And this is the announcement of Easter Day, because the resurrection is so central to our Christian faith. Nowhere in the New Testament is there a description of the resurrection. All that is given is the account of its effect from two points of view. The tomb was empty, and the disciples had met with the risen Lord. And I just want to start with this, really. There was a Roman communist was lecturing to a packed audience. He was discrediting the story of the resurrection. And at the end, there was a silence. Questions were invited. A man rose and asked permission to speak and to argue the fact that Jesus did rise on the third day. He was a priest of the Orthodox Church. He was given a maximum of 5 minutes. He replied, "I only need 5 seconds. Then he turned to the audience and gave the traditional Easter Orthodox Easter greeting. "Christ is risen," he cried. And back with a thunderous roar came the traditional reply from the crowded auditorium. "He is risen indeed. As believers, today we share in this victory for us the power and the reality of Easter lies in the fact that Christ has risen and he meets us in our world at our point of need. As we look at the passage together, firstly, I want you to notice from the passage, although the greatest day in history, it starts with the fact, firstly, hope shattered. If you follow it in the Bible, verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other went to look at the tomb. The fact Matthew records here, early on Sunday morning, the two Marys make their way to the tomb. Mark tells us in his gospel that they were coming to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. But Matthew, in his gospel, just mentions that they were just coming to see the tomb. And that makes perfect sense, because Matthew in his gospel tells us that guards were stationed at the tomb and the tomb had been sealed. They come feeling the deep loss of their dear friend, Jesus. They come in their loss and devastation and their bereavement. The hopes of the women are dead and buried. And the women went to the tomb and they made this tremendous discovery that the stone had been rolled away. See, normally, a cemetery is where things come to an end. It's a place of hopelessness. It's a place of despair. It's a place of loneliness. See, the simple fact, the women were living on the wrong side of Easter. They were still at Friday and not Sunday. And in the depth of their despair, they saw the death of their master as an end to their life. And sometimes in our journey, in our discipleship, in the face, the things that we face constantly on a daily basis that might even weigh us down. Yes, we need to focus on the fact that Jesus died for us. He paid the price for our sins. He offers us eternal life. But we need to be the people of the resurrection, because every Sunday should be a celebration of the resurrection, that Jesus is alive. And sometimes God's eternal plans are sometimes hidden in times of distress. It's difficult to see what God is doing. But even in death, God is at work. This is the world where Calvary can happen, but in which Calvary is not the end. Out of the situation, a man engineers Golgotha, but God accomplishes the Easter Day victory. See, whenever the people were confronted with the reality of the resurrection, their lives were changed and transformed. Secondly, I want to pick up the extraordinary event that occurred. And we see this in verses 2 to verse 4. These faithful women make their way to the tomb. And as they do, they are greeted with the extraordinary event in order that God might grip their attention and strengthen their faith. And I want you to notice in verse 2, as Matthew records, he speaks about being a violent earthquake. See, earthquakes were connected with the manifestations or the demonstrations of the presence of God. Do you remember back in Exodus at Sinai, the earth trembled, the mountains trembled and shook. It was a sign of the presence and the awesome might of the living God that would comfort his people. But it was also a sign of the Old Testament God's judgment against his enemies. But the extraordinary events that occurred, not only a violent earthquake, but also the appearance of an angel in verse 2. And this angel is God's special messenger, and his presence absolutely terrifies the guards and leads to one and other events which greet the women. But the presence of the angel, especially the presence of the angel sitting on the stone, this which sealed the tomb, was a visible sign of Christ's victory over death and over the grave. As the angel sits on this stone, it's really a demonstration that Jesus has won the victory. It's a demonstration that God has conquered death. Just let me illustrate it. On one occasion, Michelangelo, the great artist, turned to his fellow artists in the spirit of indignation. He said, "Why do you keep filling the gallery after gallery with endless pictures on the theme of Christ in his weakness? Christ on the cross, and most of all, Christ hanging dead. Why do you concentrate on the passing episode as if it was the last work, as if the curtain dropped on him with disaster and defeat?" That dreadful scene lasted only a few hours, but to the unending eternity, Christ is alive. The stone has been rolled away. He rules in power and authority. And I want you to notice, and there was the stone itself. It was removed from the tomb. Verse 2. Please bear in mind, the tomb was actually sealed. They would have rolled the stone like down a track and they would seal it. And some commentators would suggest that the stone would weigh anything over 2 tons. So the impossibility of any, really, 2 women actually moving the stone. And the stone was completely removed from its groove and laid over on its side. And the angel was sitting upon it. And the reason why the stone was removed, it was not to let Jesus out, because he already had risen. The reason the stone was removed, so that the disciples could look in and to see that Jesus wasn't there, that the tomb was empty. And we see what God is doing here. He's laying the groundwork for that sure confidence in the resurrection of his son. His concern is not to let his son free, because death could not hold our Lord Jesus, but in order to strengthen his disciples' faith. But in verse 3, we see the amazing thing, the dazzling appearance of an angel whose description is striking. His appearance is like lightning, his clothing white as snow. Doesn't that remind us of the description of the angel, if you know Revelation? In Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1, when John says, "I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet was like the pillar of fire." Thirdly, I want to pick up the good news that they hear. The good news that they hear. And if you're following in the Bible, in Matthew's account, especially 5 and 6, which is the key verses. "And the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he laid.'" Here in verses 5 and 6, the angel gives the words of comfort, and he makes a very important announcement. He gives encouragement to these faithful female disciples. See, Matthew, as earlier said, that the guards were paralyzed with fear. But the angel speaks words of comfort to the women in verse 5. Don't be afraid. The guards have reason to be afraid. And what the angel is actually saying, you, however, don't need to be afraid. These women had not sufficiently trusted Jesus' promise that he would be raised on the third day. Yet in their love and their loyalty, they stuck close to him. And they were showing their commitment to him the best way they could. And he says, "I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified." And I want you to notice in the passage how many times Matthew uses the word "see" in verse 6, in verse 7, and verse 10. Here in verse 6, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." See, Jesus offers his new life to anyone who would ask him. The women who go to look on death in sorrow, in desolation, and their understanding of the reality has been transformed. What they thought was a tragedy, instead, had been reversed into the most greatest victory possible, that Jesus had conquered death. Do you remember what C.S. Lewis wrote? Jesus had forced open the door that have been locked since the death of the first man. He met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different now. God has brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus. Here is the offer. The power in which Christ is alive at this moment is available to help us now. See, simply this. The resurrection is not simply a postscript to the Christian gospel. It is part of the gospel itself. Even the atoning death of Jesus must be seen from the standpoint of the empty tomb and the transforming light of the first Easter morning. Fourthly and finally, I want to pick up the commission they receive. The commission they receive. Verse 7. Then the angel gives the women a command. Then go quickly, tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you, they are charged with the privilege and that responsibility of carrying that important message of Jesus to the faltering and fearful disciples. I want you to notice how these women leave the scene of the empty tomb. Verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. They had come to mourn the loss of their dear friend. They had come in tears, but they left in joy. And though they were afraid, perhaps not fully understanding the situation, yet both the angel in verse 5 and Jesus in verse 10 tells them not to be afraid. I want to pick up verse 9. Suddenly Jesus met them. And Jesus comes to these women immediately and instinctively. And they fall at his feet and they worship him. That joy and wonder of that first Easter day. God surprised these women. He turned their lives upside down. He changed their tears to laughter, their fear to joy. And that can be our experience today. They knew that Jesus was alive and life was never the same again. See, the day of the resurrection is the day of joy. The women were shocked, surprised, and then full of joy and probably tears. The wonder, because they realized that Jesus was so powerful that death could not hold him. They came face with the living Christ. Joy because nothing could separate Jesus from his disciples again. And nothing can separate us from Jesus either, because of the risen Jesus is now alive forevermore. But they were given that responsibility, that privilege of carrying that important message of Jesus to his faltering, fearful disciples. And note how Jesus tells these women to address his disciples. My brothers, bear in mind, Peter denied him. the rest of the disciples scattered. And we see the tenderness of the Lord Jesus by calling the disciples my brothers. And we come to a Jesus who understands. So we see the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus as he cultivates faith among these struggling disciples. He doesn't say, I'm the risen one. I am the one that's... But what he says, my brothers, he doesn't say, you failed me or you disappointed me. He calls them my brothers. And this is the great and the mighty God we serve, but the gracious Lord Jesus. He lays that groundwork for us to understand just what the resurrection is. That we can, this morning, have that fresh start with God. See, God rolled the stone from death in front of the tomb. And God is still rolling the stones out of the way for the people who face dead ends today. Maybe this Easter, we can know the power of the risen Lord Jesus and to have that fresh start with him. May we know this Easter the joy of the risen Christ in our daily lives. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, when we are despairing, when the world is full of grief, when we see no way ahead and hope has gone away, roll back the stone. Although we fear change, although we are not ready, although we would rather weep and run away, Lord, we pray that you would roll back the stone. Because we are coming with the women, because we hope where hope is vain, because you call us from the grave and show us the way, roll back the stone. Father God, this is the best day of the year, the best day of all time. For on Easter Day, we find that Jesus, who was dead, is alive forevermore. And we see his promise that those who put their trust in him will not be swept away by death, but shall have eternal life. On this day of light and gladness, help us to put darkness out of our lives. Make us willing and able to change our ways and thinking and speaking and doing into Easter ways, so that how we would live as your new people, to have that hope and that certainty in you. And Father God, we do just want to pray for one situation within your world. We remember the situation within Sri Lanka following the bombs in hotels and churches. Lord God, we pray for that situation and we bring your healing touch, your healing presence into that situation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare our hearts to gather around the Lord's table, And just to say, this is an open table to anyone who loves the Lord Jesus and seeks to follow him. And as we prepare for that, we're going to sing the song.